Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, when it comes to global poverty, you know, it can just feel at times like we are fighting a losing battle. You've got all of these charities and all of these organizations around the world committing to changing the lot of the poor, and yet in many nations, of course, poverty prevails. It doesn't have to be that way, though, according to Dr. Jayakumar Krishnan. He's the National Director of World Vision in India, author of the book God of the Empty-Handed. He's been working for his whole mission there, really, for 30-odd years, and he's in Australia right now. Dr. Jayakumar, welcome to Australia, and welcome to Open House.
Thank you very much, Sheridan. Thank you very much for hosting me.
You've been to Australia a couple of times before?
Yes, briefly.
Okay, yeah, and this is a bit of a whirlwind trip.
It is.
This one as well, because you're here to launch a book called Another Way to Love, Christian Social Reform and Global Poverty. We'll talk about that in just a minute. You've been working 30 years in India with World Vision. Are we making any progress in the battle against poverty in India?
Sure. Let me back up a little. The issue of poverty naturally would paralyze anyone, just the sense of hopelessness. And I would like to caution our audience and the church in Australia or anywhere that we need to be careful that we do not get paralyzed, that this is not about hopelessness. Mm. And I would like to suggest that this is the way the devil would also want to paralyze and the church from responding.
It's so big, we can't do anything, so
yes,
why bother?
Yes, just be careful of that attitude. And I think we need to be not only careful, we need to fight against it, recognizing that the devil would love to have us arrive at that conclusion, that it is absolutely hopeless, we cannot do anything, it's a black hole, bottomless pit. One, if there is something that World Vision would like to, or two things that World Vision would like to communicate by its presence, not just in India, wherever we are, that there is hope in this, that there is hope. And to be able to communicate that hope with presence,
yes,
that we are present among the poor. And that's a non-negotiable for World Vision. And we've seen over and over again that people who are passionate about the kingdom, people who are passionate about mission, vision, and just being faithful to Christ and give their life for the poor, we can make a change.
Well, give me some signs of hope then. You know, what have you seen over the last 30 years that keeps you doing what you do?
Plenty, plenty. For example, over these last few years, in its very concrete form, in India we see women getting empowered all over the country. We have about 40,000 self-help groups in India.
40,000.
Self-help groups.
Yeah, yeah.
And these women are not just simply saving. They are causing the money lenders to go out of business. They are into all kinds of microfinance, microservices, microinsurance. They are into providing marketing linkages for their products. That whole range, you would see them demonstrate that. Then the second unintended result that we are seeing now is the leadership development among women. And many of these women are getting elected to the local self-government. We did not plan for it. And they're not happening in tens and twenties. It's happening in hundreds of them are getting elected to local self-government.
That's a real turnaround, isn't it?
It is. And this is a classic example of how we can transform structures and systems
Yes.
that cause poverty.
Yes. And how many children do you have sponsored in
As far as sponsorship is concerned, recognizing that is only the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
In India, we have about 249,000 children in sponsorship.
That's huge, isn't it?
Recognizing its tip, that is only part of it. We serve about a million children in India.
Yes.
In 6,000 communities.
What are you most excited about that World Vision is doing in India right now? I mean, obviously the things you've mentioned are wonderful too, but what haven't you mentioned that you're excited about?
We are excited about just simply the fact that children are being empowered, mobilized into children's child protection committees. We have about 3,000 some child protection committees. These are children who are aware of their rights. These are children who engage the community's leadership. We are excited that the primary school enrollment is very high in many of the communities that we are working with. We started with a low baseline on many of these. We are excited that the girl child school enrollment is improving into primary school. We are excited about the economic changes that we are bringing about in communities. We are excited also about the way we are linked with civil societies and government. We are excited about the policy influence that God has opened avenues for in issues relating to children. Plenty of things.
Yes. Dr. Jaya Kumar Christian is the Director of World Vision in India. Theopenhouse.net.au will carry the podcast of our chat from tomorrow afternoon onwards. Last time you and I chatted was actually on the phone, and it was just after the outbreak of persecution against so many people, particularly Christians, in Orissa, with the fundamentalist Hinduism that's actually been rising. How is that going at the moment?
World Vision in India, our reading of that situation is very different from the, and I think this would be affirmed by many Christians in the country. This is not about, this is not violence against the issue of conversion. This is violence that is a natural result of power being disturbed. When the poor get empowered, the power brokers are disturbed. And conversion is an easy whip to use against Christians. And this is not simply a conversion issue. This is an issue of the powerful to keep the poor poor. And we need to debate this in civil societies, not just in church circles. Because we made, given the label that this is a conversion issue, we have somehow confined our debate and discussions within church circles. We need to take it out to the civil society and say, we are up against some very serious effort to keep the poor powerless. And conversion has been an excuse. Now, coming to what the results are and what the current situation is, God is doing amazing things. It's a classic example of Acts 8:1. When there is persecution, the communities are dispersed, and the dispersed communities are starting churches wherever they have gone, these Christians. The major political powers that were under whose watch this persecution happened, their coalition is fractured. Indian Christians are really not worried about what is happening to them in that, in one sense. We know our God will take care. We very clearly, you ask the poorest woman in that village whose husband was murdered, ask her, what do you think about this? She will cry, she will miss her husband who was killed, but finally she will say, we are looking to God for help. You ask the highest church authority in the country, he will say, we're not looking to politicians and the parliament for help. We're looking to God for help. We know God will take care. We are worried about India.
Yes.
India is bleeding. We are worried about India. We're really searching God's heart and mind to know what is his response to India.
That encourages me so much to hear you say that. You know, there's this praying church and this vibrant church in India. And I saw it too. And I met so many of the wonderful people that are actually doing that. I'm going to throw a question to you that we've been talking about earlier on the rest of the evening, is that this kind of relationship between wealth and generosity, and we were talking about whether greater wealth makes one less generous, and it seemed to be that maybe the consensus was during the night that probably it was actually the case. There's even been a philanthropist that actually said as much. There is something about those people who will cling to God no matter what and then will share whatever they have when they have got very little.
That is true. Yeah. Very, very true, Sheldon. This is the case with the poor, and this is something that the middle class and the rich need to learn from the poor. Their ability to share, and their resilience, and their happiness that they have in the midst of poverty. The way, and I've seen this over and over again when I visit communities where my colleagues work, and in World Vision India, we don't believe in visiting the poor. We believe in living among the poor 24 hours, 7 days. This means, in some sense, the family that we have is the community. If they abandon us, we are alone. So the way the communities have embraced our staff, and I make sure when I visit communities, I thank the community members for accepting my colleagues as members of their family. We might be non-Christians. World Vision India serves about 91% of the people we serve are non-Christians. We go to the unreached. We don't go to the reached who are in safe locations like institutions and other places. We go where the poor are. And we are in some sense so dependent on the community for their love.
Yeah. Yes.
And we receive this over and over and over again.
Yes. We were talking about the persecution in Orissa, and of course that was very much based around the whole issue of Dalits and the Hindu caste system with this kind of whole group of people in Indian worldview that are actually outside of the caste system. They're lower than dogs, I've actually heard it said. I've heard also that wonderful things are happening amongst the Dalits, and so actually more and more of them are discovering fresh hope in Jesus Christ and also coming out. You're seeing that?
I would think so. The other thing with the Dalits or the lower caste, organizations like World Vision and the church, by their presence, communicate that God has not forsaken them.
Mm.
That affirmation and that message is a critical message for them. By our presence, we also affirm that they are made in the image of God. And Christian faith is the only one that believes that humans are made in the image of God, that they are not derivatives or dropouts or outside the system, that they are made uniquely by in the image of God, exactly like the way I am made, with the same materials. And just by our presence, we are not doing the poor any favor. We are simply affirming the message that they are made in the image of God. These messages have been fundamental in the transformation of our lower caste. And unfortunately, has been upsetting the power brokers.
Mm. You were saying before about the need to have that conversation happen more at the civic level with regards to the poor. Is that happening at all? Those conversations happening further up?
Yeah, at the higher levels? Yes, it is happening. The policymakers, World Vision has also got the privilege of being part of several forums at the national level. We are on the Planning Commission of the Government of India and the Task Force on Women's Empowerment and Development of Children, and several other forums. And we have been able to influence the, contribute in that sense, not really attributed to ourselves, but working in coalitions. We've been able to contribute to the policies of the government. Recently, we had what we call as a Baladigar Sabha, basically children's parliament. We brought children in 9 states, evaluated the performance of the government against the UN Declaration of the Rights of the Child, and developed scorecards and brought it to Delhi, brought 200 children to look at the results of the scorecard and convert that into a response list, which they call as the Children's Manifesto. And that Children's Manifesto is a very inclusive manifesto. When the children speak, they speak inclusive language very naturally.
Mm.
It's only when we adults speak, we do this they, them, we, them kind of a language. And this Children's Manifesto, we have shared it with all the major political parties in the country, seeking that this be included in the election manifesto, use it for as a criteria for selecting candidates, and use it in their campaigns. We've met many of the leaders, written to them. We wrote an open letter to the electorate saying, take note of the Children's Manifesto, recognizing that 41% of India's citizens are below 18 years.
And 41%.
And they do not vote.
Yeah.
So we are reminding the voters, the electorate, that they are voting on behalf of the children.
Yeah. And all of this reminds me, Dr. Jack Kumar Christian, that World Vision as a Christian organization has something unique in its offerings there, in the sense that it's actually the Christian gospel that actually empowers the Dalits, that actually empowers the work that you actually do. You take the gospel aspect out, you take the spiritual aspect out, you don't actually have that transforming message that can give hope to the Dalits, to the lowest of the low, to the poorest of the poor, to the forgotten and bereaved, etc.
Fully agree with you. If there is that spiritual and the gospel element removed out of our strategy, we have nothing new to offer to the community. And our the way we express it is by our presence. The non-negotiable is our presence. By our presence, we communicate that we are there communicating these messages, that they are made in the image of God, that they have the ability to dream dreams, and that's a God-given ability. And that is not dependent on the size of the purse.
We could spend a whole evening talking about that. Empowering people to have dreams when we would say, wow, there's not the resources to actually have those dreams.
Yes, and the world tells the poor that you cannot afford to dream dreams because the size of your purse doesn't permit you to dream dreams. World Vision tells them, no, the ability to dream dreams is a God-given ability. And you can dream dreams. We did this exercise. We asked children in many of our programs throughout the country to put their dreams together in a picture form.
Uh-huh.
And we brought the best out of those pictures and compiled it and went and presented it to the president of India. The children went and presented it to the president.
What kind of dreams were they, though? They would have been, I would imagine, maybe a little bit different to what we might find in a developed Western country.
Oh, very, very different. There were peace, elements of peace and symbols of peace. There were symbols of equality. There were symbols like Zechariah 4:6 days, the boys and girls playing on the streets. These were, like I said, majority of the people we serve are non-Christians, children. And in their own understanding, bringing, in some sense, describing the kingdom of God in their own language with pictures.
So what's your message to us Australians while you're here, Dr. Christian?
Like I said, told them this, some shared this evening, be an engaged community, engaged with issues that matter to the poor and the oppressed. Engage so deeply and so rigorously till your bones burn, as in Psalm 39.
I like that. Well, the fact is, we were starting this interview on the fact that, yes, there's so much stuff to be done, but just talking to you now, there's so much that has been done that is being done in the name of Christ and through the work of World Vision. Well, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Sheridan. Yeah, thank you very much.
Dr. Jayakumar Christian there, the Director of World Vision India.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.